This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you today. Matt and Patrick, so far guest-free. I got someone, I'm not going to jinx it. I'm not going to say anything, but might have someone coming up here as a pseudo-Democrat of the day, but talking about an issue that's out there. So we'll have to see if that does happen. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Patrick, how was your weekend this weekend?
Oh, the Twins were very stressful to watch. That was that was too eventful.
They won though. And here's the difference between a good pitching staff and good hitting. Is that good hitting, you would have lost two or three of those games. But you probably still would have. But a good pitching team, you win all three.
Yep, absolutely. So that was fun. It was very stressful though.
You got money on the game, man? That's my house on the line. Well, they won. You got two houses now. Did you have money on the Kentucky Derby, that 81 to 1 shot?
I did not, but horse racing is not my cup of tea at all.
I went to the Galway races one time in Ireland, and it's basically the Irish equivalent of the Kentucky Derby. And as a matter of fact, I'd make an argument. There, the horse racing, and you know from Dan Patch and stuff like this, this used to be a much larger, much bigger sporting event than it is today. And I'm not saying the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness and the Belmont is not, those three, the Triple Crown, are not big races. But it's not like it was back then when there was, horse racing in local communities and it kind of everyone went out on a Saturday night and watched Dan Patch ride down in Savage, that sort of thing. And so you know it's I went out to there. They do the hats. They do all it's basically Kentucky Derby. Only it's very Irish. There is a very interesting mingling of the social classes at these races, where you get the guy who's basically the blue collar worker out there looking for the cheap beers in the stands, and the insanely wealthy people who own the houses or horses, rather, they're all in there together. So I didn't see it. Some guy picked the trifecta. Did you see that?
That's pretty amazing.
He's $1 bet, hundreds of thousands of dollars in return or something like that. Just insane. Good, nicely done. You've done your one lucky thing for the rest of your life. I can tell you right now, unless you've got one of those cursed monkey paws, you pulled it off there. It was gorgeous on Saturday. I spent a lot of time. A shout out to the folks in Woodbury, because for two reasons. One, I was in Woodbury for a substantial part of the weekend with a child in a soccer tournament. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. Woodbury is cute, man. I could move to Woodbury. I'm content in Hopkins. I love my city where I'm at right now. But if I ever moved out of Hopkins and I moved into a different suburb, Woodbury would be one that I definitely look at, because it's cute. And they have designed that city as it grows so much better than a lot of other cities when they grow. It is so well done. I was out there, enjoyed that. I want to give a shout out though to whoever the knucklehead was that decided to shut down 494 and the Mendota Bridge westbound and 94 westbound all in the same weekend. Nicely done. You literally sealed off the southeastern side of town from anywhere else. I mean, to have to go west, you literally had to go up to, 36 and go westbound to be able to go without having to see a detour.
Oh, so that's why Crosstown was so miserable Saturday afternoon. It's never a good drive on Crosstown, but it was really bad for a Saturday. And I'm like, what is happening right now?
You could have kept one of them open. I ended up taking 35 East South, getting off, jumping onto Pilot Knob, getting back onto 494 from there. And I'm like, ugh. And I was lucky because a lot of people hadn't thought about that. But, that was not a smart play. I, as a guy that sat and stared at traffic cameras for 5 years of my life, let me tell you, whoever did that, there was – you got to think better. I mean, you quite literally – anyone, Rosemount, a Woodbury, you know, anyone, Invergrove Heights, you shut off them from basically the rest of the city for the entire weekend. That was not a good idea. Went to the Minnesota Sheltie Rescue Sheltie Party. It is as advertised. It's a party with a bunch of Sheltie dogs in it. I posted one picture up on the social media pages. You can go over there, enjoy that, me and my dog. Rescue dogs are a great option. You know, rescue dogs are a great option. And we stumbled upon the Sheltie. The story I've had is that we decided to get a dog once we got rid of the diaper bag with our youngest kid. So once our kid turned 3 years old, basically, we had like a six-month window. And finally, my wife came around and said, okay, fine, let's go get a dog. And so one day, I go over to the Humane Society over in Golden Valley. And we got there, and just by happenstance, we got there at 10 a.m. right as they open. And I walk into the dog area, and the first dog I see out to my right is, dear God, that's a purebred Shetland sheepdog. And I'm thinking, you know, we'll find whatever dog we can. I ended up pulling the dog aside. That was my first dog. First Sheltie I ever had. Never had Shelties. I grew up with Goldens. Golden Retrievers, like most Minnesotans do. Really, they do. Goldens are Labs. That's what most people in this state have. But I got a Sheltie. And I loved the breed. Incredibly smart. Very cute. Very loving. Got a second one. This time I went to the Minnesota Sheltie Rescue. And if you, no matter what breed you have out there, there's usually a rescue program for each breed. So if you have you like a boxer, or if you like a collie or something like that, you can find those, rescue services out there, and they're about. So got that, had a great time, went out there, about 100 Shelties running around a room. It was great fun. And yes, they all seem to know who they're all Shelties. Hello, 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 hello. Let me sniff you. It was like a GOP senator or sex party in Washington, D.C. Anyway, no. No, it was a little more dignified than that. Then I went out. Did you happen at all at any point? You said you did. Did you go to any of the Twins games, Patrick?
I did not. I was actually busy all weekend. I had a hockey tournament that I helped produce over in Richfield Saturday afternoon, and then I had to be back to do more in Bloomington Sunday morning. So I was busy throughout the weekend.
If you went over by the sculpture garden, it was gorgeous because all those big hedges were blossoming. They had yellow flowers on it. I've never seen that before. So I actually, I've had a busy few days here. I mentioned last week my youngest daughter has COVID. She still has yet to test negative for it. So we're keeping working on that. She's asymptomatic. She's not having a problem. It's a little bit, of a challenge keeping her motivated while she has to kind of stay in her room most of the time. But, things are going well there. Now my wife tested positive for COVID. Henceforth, why I've got the magic, the N95 here, and I'm not going anywhere near you for the time being. I'm negative. And as a matter of fact, I went over to our fine folks over at the VA hospital today and had them javelin me my booster shot. I am boosted. Thank you very much. But it'd been a bit of a long last few days, and I got to Saturday. It was gorgeous out. I went over. I took some photos. I took some sensational photos. I guarantee you one of them, if we do another calendar, is going to be in the calendar, this upcoming calendar. It's just really spectacular. I'll post a few of those pictures a little bit later on. But I had fun with that. And then also, I went out to our friends at General Mills. Who doesn't like cereal? I do. General Mills, you know their campus over on 169 and 394?
Yep.
Have you ever driven around that campus?
I actually have not.
They have some of the most spectacular sculptures I've ever seen. And I drove out there and I was able to hike around. They actually have them labeled with a little sign next to each one. So I'm presuming the concept is we're supposed to get out and go walk around. If I trespassed it on the General Mills property, my bad. Sorry. Let me know. I'll let everyone else know. But I went out there. They're spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. I was stunned at how good they were. And I posted actually pictures of those already on social media. So I went and did that. And Like I said, more time in Woodbury in the rain, and oh, just magical. And Mom's Day yesterday. That was nice. I hope everyone had a nice Mother's Day out there. I heard rumors that Park Tavern was packed to the gills, so good over there. Hope a lot of moms had a lot of good time with the bowling. Enjoy that as well. We get a busy week coming up ahead here. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. But I wanted to start off with something I've actually talked a lot about. And one of the things you know about me is I am a person, I don't pull my punches when it comes to evaluating the behavior of the Democrats and the DFLers. I don't pull my punches on this. And when you step back, I talked to my mom yesterday. I talked to a few friends over the weekend. When you step back and you realize what the Republicans have actually been able to accomplish with the stacking of the Supreme Court as they have, to get to the point where they unapologetically are, by getting rid of an established court precedent on the Due Process Act in regards to individual liberties and the liberty to privacy, by undoing all that and opening up a can of worms, they have achieved something unbelievable. And once again, they are horrible human beings. Really, they are. They are horrible human beings. But you cannot deny they know how to get things done. And you look at the Democrats, and I've been really kind of surprised ever since early last week and this ruling came on out, because it's almost as if Democrats realized, wait a second here, 70% of the country wants Roe v. Wade to stand. That means they're with us. They've always been with you. This has always been an ideology that has been, you know, pro Roe v. Wade, that ruling. And it just, once again, hits home how bad the Democrats do at managing things, while how unbelievably beyond their position the Republicans are when it comes to getting things done. And, you know, I've said this before, it gets played out constantly. Democrats can have a firm majority, whether it's a state house or state politics or in a federal level. They can have a plurality of the House, the Senate, and the White House. They can have an issue that 80% of the country agrees with. And the first thing out of their mouth will be, I don't want to jam this down anyone's throat. Oh, why are we pushing so hard on this issue? Oh, my God. They do, particularly the moderate Democrats, who basically have been duped over and over and over and over again by the Republicans, who say, hey, if you completely torpedo the Democratic platform, we'll be your friend. Will you? God, that would be great. I'll look like I'm bipartisan. I'll surely destroy my party's platform. And they do this over and over and over again. It is amazing to me. And I've gone back and I've talked a lot about the Affordable Care Act. And you had the Affordable Care Act. It should have been a signature piece of legislation. You should be winning. You should still be winning campaigns off the Affordable Care Act. But the minute it passed, all the Republicans looked at the moderate Democrats and said, you need to apologize for passing that bill. And they said, yeah, we need to apologize. Why did we ever try to give affordable health care to the masses? We overreached so much. And then 2010 was a nightmare because you didn't have any integrity. Any guts to stand up for a popular program. You just went with the Republican talking points and, by our overreach, we should have never done this. Why does the Republicans aren't even returning my calls now? Why aren't we? We should have never jammed this down people's throats. Democrats get destroyed in 2010. All of a sudden, sometime around 2011... all of a sudden, those same exact moderate Democrats who sat there and torpedoed the entire Republican platform or Democratic platform because you know, we should have never done this. We're the ones saying, hey, did you see the latest polling numbers? Most people think the Affordable Care Act is a good thing. Oh, why did anybody dislike it? You know, it's unbelievable. You they cannot deal with success. They cannot deal with success. They cannot. They said they can pass the bill. They can have the majority to pass the bill. They can have the public opinion on their side, and yet they can still figure out a million ways from frickin' Sunday to screw it up. Republicans can come on out. We're going to throw a puppy in a thresher bill of 2022, and they will throw a freaking puppy into a thresher, and they'll somehow get it passed. And the problem comes in, and no, we shouldn't, obviously. I'm not encouraging any kind of violence towards dogs or anything like that. Of course not. But that's the kind of insanity it is. Republicans can put out any damn platform, and they get it gets passed. Democrats will put out a platform that's popular, that's ideal. Half their own freaking, you know, members will all sit and say, well, we can't, even though I'm for this, we got to think about the other guy's feelings first. We really shouldn't do this. I mean, they torpedo themselves constantly. And meanwhile, the Republicans can get anything done. And what ends up happening is you have Republicans who basically pass wildly unpopular bills, but because they're belligerent about their intent, in a vacuum, their belligerence, their ignorance, looks like integrity. It does. Democrats have a very bad habit of having everything on their side and still shooting themselves in the foot constantly and then falling flat and dropping the ball, and then even when they do pass stuff, we should have never passed that bill. We're so sorry. And in a vacuum, your milquetoast pathetic response to your own platform leads to the Republicans looking like they have integrity. That's how you get to the situation we're at right now. Republican Party can have politicians as wildly deviant as Howley in Missouri and Murkowski in Alaska, but when it comes down to it, they all vote in unison. Democrats can have the majority, and they can't vote in unison, and the first thing they say is, as opposed to, okay, well, if you can't vote for this bill because it's a basic standard tentpole of the Democratic policy, then you're out of the Democratic Party. Instead, they sit there and say, aren't we great? We completely sabotaged our entire platform because we didn't tell every Democrat they had to vote for it. And in our twisted mind, not having everyone vote for the good thing is better than passing it. God. So here we are once again, and I'm, you know, I don't buy this, a lot of this, the voters, the people coming out to vote. They say, well, you haven't inspired me. You know, you haven't educated yourself, dude. You need to go educate yourself. But I can tell you one thing that doesn't help is weak Democrats out there who don't even realize we're winning. It's almost like, you know, he's like, we could win the race. It's the finish line is right there. But what we're going to do is stop and wait for the other guys to catch up. And then we'll see. It will be a fair fight to the finish. Oh, they ran past us and they're winning. Oh, my God. We've lost. Oh, well, we got our participation ribbon. I mean, that's the Democrats right there half the damn time. You guys need to grow a freaking spine. Where was, in the last week, I have seen so many Democrats all of a sudden find their, I am so pro-choice. I am so pro-choice. We have to stop this abomination. We are so pro-choice. Where was this? It's not like just yesterday 70% of the country wanted Roe v. Wade to stand there. You guys have to understand, yes, the Republican-led media will always vilify you. That's the case. I'm noticing today, you want to know how bad the polling numbers must be for the Republicans on this issue? You know, I saw today in the liberal media, about 20 stories talking about how Democrats are clearly doomed in November. Oh, Democrats, you don't even you shouldn't even show up. You're doomed. I'm like, really? It's May, and the tide has turned. You, as Democrats, shouldn't wait for the Republicans to make everything so freaking bad that you then have a platform to run on, but still it's a 50-50 chance if you can pull this off. You got plenty of rounds in the chamber to start shooting yourselves in the foot, and you are just got trigger finger ready to go. You should have been out there fighting for this 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when Merrick Garland was being held up. You should have vilified these guys. I'm not saying you would have stopped them, but at least you would have not let the people know you have integrity and you have fight, and you would have let people know what was on the line. You would have let people know, and maybe, just maybe, enough Democrats would have shown up for these Senate races, and the Democrats could have controlled the Senate on a large scale and been able to stop the appointment of Kavanaugh and Gorsuch and you know, Judge Amy Salem witch trial. No, you could have done something. But now things have gotten so bad, you're saying, see, we're the good guys now. Get off your damn asses and show me some integrity. Democrats, get off your damn asses and show me some integrity. And it shouldn't take us getting to the nuclear freaking apocalypse for you to show me your spine. It just shouldn't. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Everybody looking for a dance floor to run on.
Oh, it just infuriates me, if you want to know the truth.
I feel the earth move.
Well, and Patrick, during the break, brought up the very good point, you know, that the Republicans went to the moderate Democrats and say, hey, you know, I see that bill you're passing over there, the Affordable Care Act. Wow, that looks pretty big. You know what you need to do? You need to trim this out. And if you do, we'll let you sit with us at the lunch table. And moderate Democrats are like, oh, my God, I can sit with the Republicans at the lunch table. Look at me being bipartisan. Got the bill. And took what was a far better, more comprehensive bill. And by the Republicans manipulating the crap out of the moderate Democrats, which they did. And then after they got them to cut all that stuff out of the Affordable Care Act, then they said, you should have never passed that bill. Oh, God, what an incredible amount of overreach. And the moderate Democrats were like, I'm so sorry. I know so many people that go back to 2010 and they say the reason why so many Democrats did not show up then was because the moderate Democrats acting as if passing what should have been a signature piece of legislation, an FDR-esque, wow, can you remember that moment when Biden said pretty big effing deal, should have been a landmark moment in this country. And moderate Democrats were out there screaming, we're so sorry. God, you guys got played. And here we are yet once again. And once again, I want to make sure I say for the record, I personally am against abortion. I have said that. There you go. My wife and I have talked about it. Now, once again, I know this might be a shock. I am a man. Yes, I know. It's still up for debate on some level. I am a man. I love my Doctor Who. I'm a man, I said. My wife, I bow down to her, you know, body because that's that. She has the call. I'm not going to be that person that looks at her and says, here's what you're going to do. I'm going to have that tooth removed. You know, that's not my job. We have discussions. And because we have a good relationship, my input is validated, and there we go. But we both have decided, yeah, that if she got pregnant, we'd have a kid. And that's our choice. And that's very biblical, too, by the way. I'm not joking. It's like you are judged by your own actions on the planet. You do what you feel is good. I'm doing what I feel is good. That's kind of the thing. And there's this thing called separation of church and state. So I'm sure as heck not going to start dictating my religious standards to anyone else because that's not my job either. It's not. But at the same time, this is an issue which is very dear and passionate to a lot of Democrats. a lot of Democrats. And yet, for years, you guys have acted like, we can't talk about this. And now you guys see very angry voting base, and you're like, hey, yeah, wait a second, we're, they, wow, yeah, that's right, we're for choice. Really? Where was this? Where was this? You guys need to learn how to fight stronger for what are your core frickin' principles on the front end and not wait for, the, like I said, the Republican parties to completely dismantle them and say, we'll win another day. Jesus. It is. It's. I laugh because it is. It's comical. You guys walk into frickin' ranks left and right. And for some reason, you're a political party. You can say, hey, you know what? If you're going to be a Democrat, you have to be for strong education, health care for all, women's right to choose, environmental cleanliness. We're going to be for these things. And when these specific bills come up, no, you do not have leeway to vote somewhere else. If you don't want to vote for these bills, well, all my best, go find a different political party and bon voyage. And there you go. Instead, you guys sit there and say, well, aren't we a rainbow coalition of cluster blankety? It's just we can't get anything passed because everyone wants their moment at the pedestal saying, I stood in the way of this wildly popular bill because. Predictable. It's predictable. And will it, and that is a legit question. I mean, this is going to be the election this year. But will Democrats actually follow through on this? If a lot of these voters, you have a lot of people that are angry and a lot of people who are saying, okay, how do I get registered to vote? I've heard from multiple people at colleges and high schools with kids that are turning 18 prior to the election and the amount of people that are scrambling to get registered to vote. Will the Democrats screw it up somehow? Will you screw it up? And if it's no, well, then you guys need to change your entire game plan. And you need to go fight for the democratic principles that you yourself say you champion. And it should not be a case where when you have the majority and you have a popular item that you can barely get it passed or it doesn't pass at all. And it should not be the case when the Republicans gut something is when all of a sudden you start fighting for it. That's integrity. And if you show some freaking integrity, it shows how weak the Republicans really are. And then no one will mistake belligerence for integrity again. They won't. 952-946-6205. Speaking of which, let's go further into the anti-choice side of things with this Roe v. Wade ruling, because there are some interesting statements that have been made over the last few days about Republicans and their moral standards. I'll get to that here in a second. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So I posted this story last night. It's from Raw Story. A Wisconsin anti-abortion group's headquarters was defaced with graffiti and burned over the weekend. Madison.com reported the fire was set inside Wisconsin Family Action's offices late on Saturday or early Sunday morning. If abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either, one message painted on the building read. Anti-police graffiti was also scrawled on the building. If you're going to what you are going to see here is a direct threat against us, Wisconsin Family Action President Juliana Appling said. Imagine if someone had been in the office when this happened, they could have been hurt. Appling has suggested that the attacks is related to the reports the Supreme Court will overturn federal abortion rights. This is the local manifestation of the anger and the lack of tolerance from the pro-abortion people towards those of us who are pro-life. Okay, we'll get back to that statement in a second. Appling claimed the police have found evidence of at least one Molotov cocktail in the location of the fire. Police have said Molotov cocktail failed to ignite and appears that the fire was started in response. Okay, so first of all, let me, for the record, this is horrible. If this was indeed left-leaning people that were going out there, pro-choice people that were going out and attacking it, for God's sakes, stop. All right? all you're doing is, first of all, you're breaking the freaking law. And she's right. You could have hurt somebody if there was someone in there. But all you're doing is taking the most victim-laden freaks and insisting that they, I'm the real victim here. And dear Lord, you know, that's, it's you're fueling their fires. And so, you know, unfortunately. So what you need to do is stop. Don't break the law. Don't potentially kill someone, you fools. I don't tolerate this from the right. I sure don't tolerate this from the left. Don't do that. Now, this is the local manifestation of anger and the lack of tolerance from the pro-abortion people towards those who are pro-life. Lack of tolerance. Ah. Sometimes the hypocrisy of the anti-abortion crowd is amazing. Lack of tolerance. The lack of tolerance. For 40 years, you people have been screaming about how you're a murderer! You're murdering people! Are you a killer? You're baby killers! That's all you guys have been doing for 40 years, showing us your tolerance that you have towards the other side, the other opinion. 40 years, 50 years, basically. 49 to be exact. 50 years of you screaming in these people's faces about how they're horrible and evil and wrong. On top of that, you guys have applauded crimes yourselves. When a crazed gunman guns down a doctor, what was that, in Kansas? God, for the anti-abortion people, the response was ranged from, yay, we saved babies by murdering him, to, you know, I don't tolerate killing people, but I got to tell you, the guy had a point. Wow, really? No. They murdered somebody. If you're pro-life, then they're against what you stand for. When a loon ball storms a clinic and guns down people left and right, you guys sit there and say, oh, well, it's bad, but they were asking for it. That's your tolerance. That's your tolerance. And that's the congenial side. The other side is, yay, murder them all! Murder them all! Yay! That's your tolerance. And I know right now, anti-abortion guy is, that's not fair, Matt! You're painting with a wide brush! Not all of us feel that way. Well, speaking of painting with a wide brush, let me once again read the quote here. This is the local manifestation of the anger and lack of tolerance from the pro-abortion people towards those of us with pro-life. That would seem like a pretty frickin' wide brush, too. That all of us, if you are for choice, are guilty of the firebombing of that place in Wisconsin. We're all guilty of it. That seems like a pretty frickin' wide brush, so I have no problem, especially when I know people. I know this one guy. Very Christian. And when they had the shooter win in Colorado, I believe it was, would the guy end up killing the veteran who was trying to save people at the clinic? Christian man. Say to me, I pray for all those sinner souls. They're all sinners, and I pray for their souls, and I don't condone this, but I just think about how many babies we just saved. And you want to just look at him and say, you actually are still running with the pro-life moniker. And you're applauding that. I know far more people. I know a lot of Democrats who have condemned this and say, no, this is not how you do it. If you want to know how you do it, you vote. You vote in elections. That's right. You vote. You go get registered to vote and you vote in elections. That's how you change things. So You want to accuse the left of painting with a wide brush. I don't have to take – I can actually take a much shorter trip and paint with a far larger brush of all the times the Republicans have tolerated violence against people in the name of saving babies. Right? Right. But it does bring up an interesting point here and truly an interesting thought that there might be a way – to make abortion legal that doesn't involve, well, it would probably always involve the Supreme Court. I mean, there was talk about, I brought up this point this weekend. If you didn't catch the quote from Mitch McConnell, he said, well, if we take back the House and the Senate, we're going to definitely pass bills that basically make it illegal to get an abortion in all 50 states. They're going to take away the right of choice in all 50 states, which kind of goes against the Republicans right now are trying to figure out messaging on an issue where they clearly are on the wrong side of popularity, but yet at the same time can't stop campaigning towards that small minority, which is the fundamental base of their voters. And so McConnell coming on out there and saying this, you know, I the point I made is if Mitch McConnell and the Republicans get the House and the Senate, they will pass this bill. And if they were to get the presidency and they pass that bill, the same exact Supreme Court, the same exact Supreme Court, which just said the choice of abortion is a state issue, will suddenly find some new way, well, unless the Republicans pass a bill and now the federal government can ban it completely. Guarantee you. So, I mean, no matter what happens here, the Supreme Court is going to do whatever they can to basically push the Republican narrative. This is, like I said, when Alito and Barrett were out there last year screaming about how dare you start criticizing us for political rulings, because they were talking, they knew they were about to make a bunch of political rulings. That's why. So you have this interesting idea that I've got that you might be able to get abortion to be legal, because at the end of the day, there's one thing that Republicans do not want to do, and that is spend taxpayer money on social programs. I said, and one of the main reasons I mean, even as a person who is personally against abortion, I'm against making it illegal, is that you do not have – you are going to force people. You are going to command people to have a baby. You are not going to give them a choice of basically not becoming a parent. You are going to force them. The state will force you to have that child. And I said, if the state is going to be in that business of forcing people to give birth, then the state has to step up and supplant the life of that child. You basically, and don't give me this whole thing with, well, I wish, you know, it was their choice. No, their choice would have been to end the pregnancy. You, the state, politicians were the ones who insisted that that baby had to be born. And so you have inserted yourself here. And you see, there's an interesting paradox with this. Republicans don't want to acknowledge that. They don't want to sit there and have to say, oh, yeah, well, we demanded this person carry this baby to term. They want to be able to say, you know, that was their choice. That was their choice. And it wasn't. You basically stopped them from being able to have the choice of getting an abortion. Henceforth, you are forcing them, especially in these states where they're talking about restricting movement and preventing women from even going to other states to go get an abortion if they so choose. You really are getting into a point there where you are culpable and responsible for said child just as much as the mom and dad. And I know you're sitting there saying, oh, that's garbage. No, it's the truth. You should have. And if you are truly pro-life, and they're not, they're pro-de-wombing of babies. That's it. They want the baby out of the womb. And the second it's out of a womb, it's a moocher that's stealing their taxpayer dollars. If these so-called pro-life Christians were really pro-life, they would have free health care for that infant. They would have free daycare for that infant. They would have medical care for the mother who gave birth to that infant prior to the pregnancy, prior to the birth, and then afterwards as well. They would have family leave in place. They would have shelter in place. They would make sure food is available to the child and the mother after the birth. I mean, that's called being pro-life. But none of that stuff. As a matter of fact, Republicans have gone out of their way to cut all those programs down to the bare bones. But now here we are, 50 years after Roe v. Wade, and we're looking at the likelihood that the Republican conservatives on the court have basically gotten rid of the right to get an abortion. Maybe that's the path to get the states, especially Republican states, to make abortion legal again in their boundaries. Because if you can successfully argue, well, this person would not have had this child if not for the state forcing them to. Henceforth, the state has a responsibility for that child. You cannot say to this person, you cannot get an abortion to stop the pregnancy, and argue that you had no impact whatsoever on the outcome of that child. And so if Democrats, if mothers with kids that were forced to have that child because of anti-abortion laws were to successfully sue a state and say, you have to supply support for this child, how many Republican states would immediately make abortion legal? Because the bigger sin in their mind would be an expansion at taxpayer expense of social safety programs to make sure the children they demanded be born actually have a decent life. And what's interesting is that as a lot of Republicans will scream, well, they'll be adopted. They'll be like, yeah, white kids, blonde-haired, blue-eyed white kids. Yeah, those are in high demand. Minority kids, not so much. And it's really easy for wealthy white guy to sit there and say, oh, putting a black kid in the foster care system for their entire life is a perfectly fine way to raise a child. It's not. And you wouldn't have to necessarily if the mom said, hey, here's the deal. The state's going to step up. They're going to have food for us. They're going to have daycare. I get paid leave. They'll help me with job training. I have an option. I have an opportunity to keep this child and be able to have a life with them. Great. But no Republican, I can tell you right now, if it came down to expanding social safety net programs for these needy kids that are going to get born versus, making abortion illegal, they'd make abortion illegal again. And they say, oh, we wanted to, but now they say we had the taxpayers. We can't, millionaires and billionaires, we can't demand that they pay for the kids we demand be born. My God. It's interesting. That's something to ask yourself. Would Republicans make abortion legal if the states had to supplant the income, health care, food, shelter, and life of these children they demanded be born? My guess is that would be. Because, like I said, this whole thing, this whole pro-life about we respect the sanctity of life. Well, then we need $20,000 so that we can get this kid to elementary school. You're mooching off of me. You can go have an abortion. We don't want to have to be responsible for the children we demand be born. It's an interesting question. And I got to tell you the truth. A good legal mind might indeed be able to make that argument. Even the conservatives on the Supreme Court can't argue that. Oh, I imagine they'll try to. They'll try to say, well, us forcing you to have the kid. I mean, why do you think that we are involved at all? It's an interesting thought. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. It's wrap up the first hour. When we do return, it's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. You know, that is an interesting question. Think about Tennessee. Think about Tennessee or Missouri. When it came down to, okay, so, and what they want is they want the best of both worlds in their mind. They want to force women to have to give birth, but because they force them, they don't want to have any culpability for that child, even though they force that woman to give birth to them. And quite literally, you could have a situation where within 2 weeks of knowing that they're pregnant. So very early on in some of these states, they're going to be saying, well, the dad doesn't want the baby and the mom doesn't want the baby. And they're saying, well, you need to have the baby. And so if someone said, okay, I don't want to give this baby up for adoption. I don't want it to go into the foster care system. They forced me to have this baby. And I think that if the option is basically to ship it off, I'm going to keep it. So the state has to basically help supplant the income. If that was actually ever the law, I don't think there. I think it would be very quickly and very quietly. Republicans would walk very silently to their state capitals and they'd say, "We have to make abortion legal because I sure as hell am not going to go back to my taxpayers and tell them we have to pay for these kids we're demanding get born." It's an interesting thought process. It's an interesting thought process. This is up to the individual. This is, and once again, this is not about life. This is about control. These people want to control you. And in a weird, disturbing way, Republicans want to control what goes on in your bedroom. They want to control your contraception. They want to control who you have sex with. They want to control what kind of sex you can engage in. They want to in control whether or not you make health choices for your own body. I love the one point someone made. He said, "Well, why don't you know vasectomies are easy to reverse, and you can if men got them, and then when we're ready and show that they were ready to have kids, they could get them reversed and have kids." And someone said, "If you're offended by that argument, that then basically, why are you arguing we should do the same thing to women?" And it's not, so it's clear. I mean, there is an option out there that would not require us to basically force women into choices they don't want to do. But men would have to deal with vasectomies. But that, oh, wait, we can't control men's individual bodies like, oh, I see. So it is only about control of women. And that's the saddest part. We'll come back. Hour two up next. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Michael Flynn, do you remember the National Security Advisor who basically was, you know, working against our own country? Remember that guy, Patrick? I just saw this one. You'll get a chuckle out of this. According to Flynn, that he basically, COVID vaccines contain dormant pathogens that will be triggered into action when 5G towers, presumably all at once all over the world, issue an 18 gigahertz signal for 1 minute. The signal causes the IP36 gene deletion among its vaccinated, and that's when the eating of brains begins.
And I thought Ron Johnson said the stupidest thing about COVID vaccines last week.
Okay, are you saying that the gene will eat our brains, or are you actually saying this will trigger us into being brain-eating zombies? Flynn, I just got boosted again. I did. VA, thank you very much. It was great to be over there once again. Boosted again. I'm looking for some brains to eat here coming up a little bit later on. Boy, delicious. 5G, for God's sakes. Tell me a 5G network in this country that works appropriately as it does right now. Unless you are in the wealthiest neighborhoods in this country, you're not so damn reliable. You'll be like zombie curious. I mean, it's not going to work completely.
You'll only be a zombie for a half hour total a day. You'll just kind of snap out of it, and I'll just kind of be like, oh, Matt's not talking. I guess that means he's in a zombie moment. I'll just wait till he comes back.
Did not turn into a zombie. I just like my steaks a little more rare, and I'm starting to vote Republican. There you go. That's the end game there. 952-946-6205. God, these people are stupid. Have you heard the Republicans talk about the hellscape that is downtown Minneapolis? No one, Patrick, no one is going down there. Have you heard this?
I heard it just burned to the ground.
Oh,
there was
it's just
nothing.
Oh,
left.
There's nothing. I was out there, and there's no one there. It's empty. Funny story. For an empty place, it sure seems to be growing pretty fast. This, according to the Twin Cities Business, downtown Minneapolis might be hurting for commuters, but the residents keep on coming in. Back in 2020, in the wake of the pandemic-driven office closures and civil unrest, many assumed that downtown Minneapolis would become a ghost town. It's occupied by those Mike Flynn zombies. Ooh, look out for them. Well, I mean, downtown, for God's sake, try to get a 5G signal downtown between all those damn buildings. Good luck with that. Anyway, through the number of office workers has declined considerably, downtown isn't quite dead yet. No, I'm alive. I'm free. I want to get up and dance. New residents are still moving in, and residential developments are sprouting all the time. In February, for instance, architectural firm Krauss Anderson wrapped up a new 16-story apartment tower in downtown East. Downtown East would – okay, so yeah, that's – I'll kind of describe what these areas are here in a second here. Meanwhile, the number of residents downtown, meanwhile, has only continued to grow. According to figures from the Minneapolis Downtown Council, population has ticked up 5.6% last year to 56,077 residents in 2021. This is just in the downtown. No one used to be down. God, you used to go down there in the 80s, man. It was abandoned. You could film the Omega Man down on most of those streets. But now there's a lot. I went down. So I came back from the Sheltie party. I was up on Broadway. I shot over to Central. I came down. I took the Hennepin side. I came across the bridge. When I broke from Central and Hennepin, you know where that is up on the north side there?
Yep.
So I shoot down there. Go past that a new building there, back kind of Certix is over there, shoot down towards the bridge and come across by the grain belt sign. Sweet Lord, were there a ton of people downtown. It was packed to the freaking gills. Everywhere you look, there were people hiking, biking, having fun out in the sun on that Saturday. It was gorgeous.
So you mean to tell me we're not the new Detroit?
Much to the lament of the third tier suburban Republicans who are like, I'm just going to stay here and go to my Applebee's because downtown is a hellscape. No, actually, for hellscapes, it's actually quite delightful. I mean, it's you know, there's room to grow. The two areas where people seem to be moving most, and I'm going to look at the map here. Well, first, North Loop. Holy God, they can't build fast enough on the North Loop.
I heard North Loop was one of the areas that was hit the least hard by the pandemic. So that was good news there.
Well, okay. Last year I was down there. I went out to get some food. I drove down there. And this is back right when Delta was going on. And so it's like people were still scared. And I was like, you know, all right, you can bring the food on out. We're hermetically sealed in the car. Leave it on the car. We'll open up the vent and pull the food in. You know, that one of those things. No one else down in North Loop was wearing a mask. Everyone else was like, pandemic, what's that? It's North Loop. We're immune. If you're wondering where North Loop is, basically it's everything to the west of Hennepin Avenue. So First Avenue, Target Field, the Target Center is down there, up to the river. So it's up to the river. So basically west of Hennepin Avenue, up to the river, that's North Loop. That had a mild bit of growth here, 79% increase in population from 2010 to 2021, 79%, and it's not even the biggest area. The biggest area would be downtown East, the Mill District. Now, okay, so this looks like, okay, so it's, I'm going to guess it's like a block east of the Central Avenue Bridge. All right. Running over to 35W to the river. Okay. And it looks like the Viking Stadium is in this area, but just south of that Viking Stadium is not. That would be called Downtown East, the Mill District. Okay. The mild bit of growth there, 97.7%. The population basically nearly doubled in 10 years. Every other place, Lower Northeast, Lower Northeast is basically St. Anthony. So it's on the St. Anthony side, on the north side of the river there. That whole stretch there, that is up 29%. The downtown core itself is 18%. Elliott Park, which is down on the, well, basically the southeast side of the downtown, is 15%. And Loring Park, which is over on the southwest side of the downtown, that's at 8%. But they all grew. They all grew. I know, I mean, like I said, I understand Republicans. Your narrative is, no one wants to go there. It's a hellscape. Seriously, if you're a Republican in the city of Minneapolis, put your house on the market. It will be gone in a week. If that, it will be gone in a week. And we won't miss you. We will not miss you. And bye. You can go out to the suburbs and talk about how
It was a hellscape. I miss it. There are so many things to do, but it was a hellscape of enjoyment. A hellscape of enjoyment. Can we get that on the signs? Why don't we take the sailboat off the city of Lake signs? A hellscape of enjoyment. Welcome to Minneapolis. 952-946-6205. Okay, before the city of Minneapolis tourism department sends me a cease and desist letter, no, I know it's probably not the best slogan. I will go along with that. Also, a bit of sad news I wanted to get to here. Very unfortunate here. The shocking death of 31-year-old Adrian Payne played with the Timberwolves. Do you remember this player?
Yeah, I do. I do remember this.
He played 2014 to 2017. He apparently has been ruled a homicide. Payne was fatally shot while in the 2500 block of Egret Shores Drive in Orlando, Florida, early Monday morning. The Orange County Sheriff's Office reports the shooting happened about 1:37. He was taken to the hospital and pronounced dead at the hospital. From his gunshot wound. The suspect shooter, a 29-year-old Orlando man, was arrested and booked into Orange County Jail on pending first-degree murder charges. The sheriff's office said the suspect stayed at the scene, was interviewed before being taken into custody. No further statements have been released. Payne played three of his five NBA seasons with the T-Wolves, spending 2014 to 2017 in Minnesota, where he played under former head coaches Flip Saunders, Sam Mitchell, and Tom Thibodeau. After his career in the NBA ended in 2018, he played overseas as a member of a Greek team in the Greek Basketball League. But that's a sad note there. So shot and killed in Orlando, Florida. All my best to the Timberwolves and the family over there and his family as well is a very shocking loss. But as we've said before, gun violence is not going away. And we keep pouring more and more guns into our society, expecting a different result than what we're getting, which is slaughter in the streets. And yes, you're right. There's a lot of bad guys that are getting guns. There are. But there's also a lot of people that are getting guns that don't know how to use them. People are getting shot. They're accidentally getting shot. Kids are finding guns. They're finding loaded weapons. It is chaos with guns right now in this country. Statistics rattled off by Hennepin County officials at a recent commission briefing on gun violence were gloomy and unsurprising. Homicides, reporters of gunfire, emergency gunshot victims, and carjackings have all increased dramatically. That's despite commissioners directing more money to prevention, approving $10 million in federal dollars in February for violence prevention initiatives. Other agencies have also taken notice of the surge of violence. Last week, the State Patrol agreed to send troopers to help patrol streets of Minneapolis. The state's Bureau of Criminal Apprehension will help the Minneapolis Police Department with investigations. Now, I want to make sure I point out the same thing I say every time we talk about this gun violence. This, according to Tim Pawlenty and Republicans, should not be happening right now. It shouldn't. When they passed the Carry and Conceal Act, they put that forward with the argument, this will stop all crime. No one will do anything wrong because you don't know. Does that guy have a gun? That was their argument. Oh, and before you say, they never said that. Dude, man, that was one of the first things I ever wrote on the Progressive Citizen X blog, was a complete breakdown of all the statements Republicans made in the arguments in the days leading up to the Carry and Conceal law that basically made it seem like you pass this bill and all gun crime will cease to exist in the city of Minneapolis and in the state of Minnesota. That's what the narrative they put out there. We have had Republicans scream, more guns will make us safer. And nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. More guns do not make you safer. As a matter of fact, if anything, more guns make us far less safe. And no, the argument is, well, then we need more guns. No, that's not how it works. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's a lot of countries on the planet where they don't have massive deaths by gun. I know. I know. And that's not because, well, Matt, don't give me some Euro country where the namby-pamby government doesn't allow you to have a gun. I'll give you Canada. Tons of guns up in Canada. They don't have nearly the death rates we have in Minneapolis, in the state of Minnesota, in Minneapolis. They don't. Go to Australia. They got tons of guns down in Australia, but they put common sense regulations in place, and they pretty much almost eliminated all gun violence in the country of Australia. No, we could do this. You see, there are things we can do. The Supreme Court, even with conservative judges, have said, no, you can regulate guns. You just have to make sure that there's a constitutional right and a well-regulated militia to have, you know, right to bear arms. But the reality is, and especially as one of the things I pointed out with Alito, if you're going to go back to what's in the Constitution, well, at the time of the Constitution, that was a single-barrel, muzzle-loaded rifle that we could only – a single shot, you know, every 45 seconds or so. You could make the argument that that was the gun, and that's the only gun you can have. Now, I'm not saying that it is. I think that people should be able to get hunting weapons. I've said the point. I don't agree with personal safety pistols, but I if someone wants to have one, that's their right. I won't. But that being said, I've been very clear. I was in the U.S. Army. I think guns that were designed to be used to kill other human beings as quickly and as speedily as possible should not be available to the public on demand. And the reality is those guns are everywhere. Everywhere. They just had the kids that crashed their car down in South Metro. That were being chased, and all of a sudden they found automatic weapons in their back of their car, stuff that's right from a war zone. One statistic presented to the commissioners was particularly telling. Reports from ShotSpotter, the acoustic sensor technology used by police to pinpoint where shots were fired, jumped from approximately 5,000 shots in 2019 to 12,000 shots in 2021. That would be the result of more guns. It would. But where is uptight white Republican from the country who sits there and insists, well, I got my carry and conceal weapon. If I walk down the street, no one's going to shoot me because they know I could be carrying a gun. Why don't you get off your puckered white cabooses and move your butts into Minneapolis and patrol the streets there, law and order. Come on. Oh, that's right. That's only for you to sit in your rural landscapes where there's hardly any crime at all and sit terrified in your basement, clutching your guns in your hand going, oh, I'm safe now. Jesus. This country's in trouble with guns, man. During that time period, the Atlanta County Attorney's Office saw that a significant jump in the number of cases it handled involving firearms, especially among juvenile offenders. Well, where are they getting it? Well, they had that white guy that was out in outstate Minnesota that kept selling all the guns. Yeah, heaven forbid we try to crack down on that. Ugh. In addition to the obvious trauma of injuries or death, commissioners were reminded the impact beyond the victims of gunfire. Violence in neighborhoods limits economic growth and prosperity, creates housing insecurity, prevents uses of public spaces. For the offender, it leads to permanent and to criminal justice system academic difficulties and barriers to employment stability. The briefing also highlighted the variety of violence prevention programs the county already has in place, plans to enhance. These include hospital-based violence interruption services for victims aged 12 to 28, gender-specific 24/7 violence intervention services for youth up to age 24 through credible messengers and violent interruption, and intervention and outreach through community providers in neighborhood experiencing high levels of crime and violence. The county board has funded violence intervention programs, neighborhood revitalization efforts, and youth programming and mentoring. The county has 58 gun violence reduction providers that offer services in the area. They're quite literally, let me make sure I say this, quite literally, they're outgunned. Quite literally, they're outgunned. It's the guns are pouring in because it's first of all, they're legal everywhere. And second of all, any regulations we have are a joke because for every regulation that they're trying to put out there, there is for every regulation you're putting out there, there's a Republican who's fighting against it. And I want to remind you, last year, this is out of Hennepin County, this is in Buffalo in Wright County. You had the psychopath that started shooting up the hospital, who clearly had a history of that should have negated his ability to buy a gun. And the Wright County Sheriff basically said, there's not really much that we can do. There's not much we can do. We can't really stop it. We have to allow the clearly mentally compromised individual to get access to a freaking arsenal. And he ended up shooting up a hospital. No, the guns everywhere does not work. You have to have regulations. You have to have the guns need to be registered. The guns need to be inspected. You have to have people that know how to fire them. They should go through a gun safety program. You should get rid of loopholes that allow people to buy these guns online or at trade shows. You should and the county sheriff should actually have a, God forbid, law enforcement actually have a list of people and what kind of guns they have. And if you think about it, in a lot of cases, that would probably prevent violence. Maybe not in the city of Minneapolis, where the way they do things with the policing there. But in a lot of places, if they already know they're going into a house that, okay, there's no gun listed here, that might be a safer environment. Or, oh, this person has any guns here. We're going to treat this very carefully. God forbid we actually have common sense gun laws. God forbid. Because I can tell you right now, this guns everywhere mentality, which is the Republicans' policy, clearly doesn't work. And just because some sucker out in outstate Minnesota likes to sit in his basement at night, clutching his 20 guns close to him, saying, I'm the safest person ever, doesn't mean these rules are working for squat. Because the reality is there's a lot of people that are dying because of guns everywhere, thanks to the Republican Party. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Patrick, apparently we do have some more serious weather going through the area right now, correct?
Yes, we do. From the National Weather Service, we have tornado warnings in effect for Anoka County, Chisago County, Isandy County until 5:45, as well as Polk County, Wisconsin.
Okay. I'm looking at the storms. It's kind of moved through the metro area. It's over on the east side of town, but obviously something to be dangerous with. There is also, if I'm not mistaken, it's a tornado watch in effect for most of the listening area, pretty much the entire eastern part of the state at this point.
Yeah, that's correct. That's till 10 o'clock.
That's till 10. So a tornado watch till 10 o'clock. There's one line of storms that's going through. It's on the east side of town. Watch out in those counties as there's a tornado warning in effect in some counties. Once again, what were the counties that were affected by the tornado warning right now?
Anoka County, Chisago County, and Isandy County in Minnesota, and Polk County, Wisconsin. That's until 5:45.
Be careful. Be careful. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. No, that's the thing. Okay, so I was at the VA. And, you know, it's always an interesting reminder of my military service to go it's been a while since I was in. It's been 30 years since I was in the U.S. Army. And so to go there, and what's so funny is if you go to the cafeteria in the VA, they have the same exact food that we back when I was in. The same breakfast as there. Oh, I remember having this before. It is kind of a remarkable setup that they've got there. But as I was there, one of the things that when you're there, you get to fire off. If you're in the military, you get to fire off some serious ordnance. Not only do you have your rifle, you also have anti-tank weapons, you have, missile launchers, you have, pretty heavy duty guns too, the large calibers. And all of them are designed with a purpose. When someone sits down with a pencil and a piece of graph paper to start designing the weapon, they are designing it to, in regards to these guns, to kill as many human beings as quickly as possible. That's what the military uses. They use these in combat zones. They're using these in areas where they basically you might need to spray an area of a community, an area in the woods or on a in a war-torn street, and you need to spray an area to try to get possibly three or four guys. That's what that weapon is designed for. It's designed to get those guys and to kill them. Kill them. That's it. That's war. It's not a capture the flag sort of situation. That's what they're designed for. And the minute we allowed military-grade guns that were designed to kill as many human beings as quickly as possible into the public, that's when all this went to hell. And we had the Brady Bill, but the Republicans killed that. They didn't renew it. And ever since then, what has happened? More and more and more gun violence. This isn't rocket science. You got to get the guns off the street. And I am public enemy number one just by saying you got to get the guns off the streets. You got to get the guns. You got to get people have to understand the basic safety of the public because they're carrying a weapon that can kill people very efficiently. It's designed to do that. And it's remarkable. It takes all it takes is one mistake. Even if your heart's in the right place, all it takes is one mistake, one dropped gun that starts going off, one child that's discovering an unlocked gun that's loaded for some damn reason, and tragedy happens. And that's not including all the people that are using them with intent to try to kill other people. It is a very scary world that we live in, and we don't have common sense anymore. And this kind of goes back to the first thing I was talking about earlier in the show when I said, you know, Democrats, where's your integrity on this? You should be fighting this so much more. And you can say, oh, we're not going to take away hunting guns. And the first thing they say is, well, that's how they always start. It's like, no. We're going to stop the slaughters that are happening in our streets on a daily basis. And if you're for them, I can't help you. You are a broken, damaged individual that needs psychological help. And so we're going to go fix this. That's called integrity. Let's find that again. And let's make some change. Please. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. It's more of the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. Once again, watch out in the east metro there. You're seeing some heavier storms coming through, and there's a tornado watch that's in effect. What time? Do you remember what time that tornado watch is in effect, Hill?
10 o'clock. We also do.
Tornado watch at 10 o'clock. What's the warning up to?
The tornado warning for Anoka, Isanti, and Chisago, that's until 5:45. We also do have a new tornado warning that just came in. That includes Dakota and Goodhue, along with Pierce County, Wisconsin. That's until 6.
All right. Be careful on the east side. During the break there, I pulled up one of Sven's weather maps there, and yeah, it looks nasty over there. So be careful. Be careful. If you hear the sirens go off, get shelter right away. All right? You do not want to mess around with that. And don't be that guy. Don't be the person that's sitting out there with a freaking tornado bearing down on them with your freaking iPhone trying to get footage. For God's sakes, don't do that. You know, you being alive is more important than anything else. 952-946-6205. Speaking of tragic deaths, an ATV operator died in a crash near Cass Lake over the weekend after striking a tree. Yikes. The crash occurred on a bike trail in Pike Bay Township around 9:30 on Saturday, according to the Cass County Sheriff's Office. The AT operator, 9:30 on a Saturday night? I'm just going to ask, is alcohol involved here? Because most people I know that are out just having fun with an ATV at 9:30 at night on a Saturday night generally have had a few with them.
the ATV operator. A 20-year-old Cass Lake man was transported to the hospital, later pronounced dead. Speed appears to be a factor in the crash, according to the sheriff's office. Deputies on the scene were told the ATV operator lost control on a curve, causing the ATV to veer off the trail and strike a tree. The victim has not been identified, and the crash remains under investigation. I got to tell you, man, I remember. Do you, Patrick, do you ever remember the three-wheel bikes, the three-wheel ATVs they had?
Yeah, I do remember those.
God, they banned those a long time ago. They banned those because they just were rolling over. And they, I mean, there was – I think I remember. It was when I was starting in the commercial side of radio. I'd gotten done with the military side. I was on the commercial side. And I think in one day, nationwide, they had like 10 kids get killed on those things. And it's kind of a design flaw because, I mean, it's just on a three-wheel bike with those big bouncy tires. It just – they rolled over all the time, and it was a pretty heavy bike, and so it would roll over and crush the kids, and it was really tragic. And they banned those right away. I don't know if these other ATVs – I hear a lot about people crashing these things. And it's granted. I mean, and I'm not saying – I don't know in this case if alcohol was involved, but, God, anytime you see someone on one of these vehicles, it's 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, it's – it almost seems like most of the time alcohol is involved, and that's, yeah. Yeah. 952-946-6205. I can't stay away from a Mary Kiffmeyer story. Oh, Mary. Oh, Mary up in Big Lake there. Going to miss you. Well, no, I'm actually not going to miss you. I think it's going to be a good thing for the state that you're no longer be serving. But still, oh, Mary. The 2020 election is shaping dueling visions of new voting laws. The legislature aims to resolve competing GOP and Senate DFL House bills in the last 2 weeks of the session. Now, a reminder, too, the DFL governor has to sign off on it. And so unless the governor signs off on it, too, nothing's going to pass. So it's not going to – the Republicans have their wish list of white farmers – white farmers that own land. They're the only people who get male white farmers that own land. Those are the only people who can vote. That's their dream. I don't know who would win in Minneapolis. Is there a farm left in Minneapolis? That's I don't see too many farms out over on the crosstown. Jebediah is not working the fields with his plow. Oh, there's lots of plowing going on. Never mind. I can't do that joke. I'll just walk away, Matt. Walk away. All right. Republicans are proposing changing how – actually, no, they're not saying that. They're not just saying – I mean, that's a Republican pipe dream. White, rural, farmer, landowners, male, all being the only voters. That's their kind of their – they wish they could get back to that. But the reality is, no, they have other proposals. That was me making a joke. Ha ha, ha 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 ha. Republicans are proposing changes to how absentee ballots are received and counted, while Democrats want to make permanent changes put in place to adjust the pandemic when we adjusted to the pandemic during the last statewide election. Our focus was on transparency and security, said Senator Mary Kiffmeyer, Republican from Big Lake. Big Dork. No, Big Lake. Big Lake. Not Big Dork. Big Lake. She said before the Senate passed a sweeping supplemental funding bill this month that includes a series of voting bills she has sponsored. Now, I want to remind everyone, Mary used to be the Secretary of State. It clearly seems to chew her up to the core to see how popular Steve Simon is. It does. I think... frankly, that woman hasn't had a decent night's sleep in years. It kind of shows. But, I mean, seriously, I don't think – I mean, between that and screaming at places that are named by the traditional Native American language, how dare – Bede Mikaska, how dare you? That sort of thing. You know, Bedote. That's right. She got all upset when we referred to the area of Fort Snelling's over as Bedote, which – once again, is the traditional name that she said, why are we doing all these new names? Well, it's actually not new. It's been there a long time, a lot longer than Whitey's been there. And on top of it, funny story, Bedote actually is Mendota because it was translated by the French and then translated into the English. And so Bedote became Mendota. So technically, when you're saying Mendota, you're saying a variation of Bedote anyway. So say call it Bedote, you hack. Anyway, that's just me. The more you know. Rainbow emoji.
She basically said our focus is on transparency and security. Before the Senate passed a sweeping supplemental bills that includes a series of voting bills she sponsored. A longtime GOP priority to require photo identification to vote in Minnesota was also passed by the Senate last year, although it's unlikely to muster much, if any, support from the Democrats who believe it would suppress voter turnout. Republican candidates for statewide office have been called voter ID legislation this year. House Democrats on their election law proposals want to impose new civil penalties for intimidating or threatening election workers, painting it as a necessity response to a rise in harassment brought by the discord over the 2020 vote. Now, this is the main reason I'm bringing this up. You have a real push here. We talked about, God, this was, where was it? One guy was going to be an election observer. He was coming in from somewhere. Was it Monticello? And he was going to come into the city because he's going into the belly of the beast for the election. He's going to monitor the election from the belly of the beast. What, in a Republican pipe dream, would be able to send white people into predominantly minority voting areas. And when someone who is suspicious, and I'm putting that in quotes, and I think you can see where I'm going with that, comes up to vote, we're going to contest that ballot, put that ballot aside. It doesn't get counted until we verify who that person really is. Mind you, funny story. Most of the voter fraud that happened in 2020, Republicans. I know. As a matter of fact, I don't know if there's been any lefties. It was all Republicans voting twice for Trump, voting in different districts for Trump. I know. Heaven forbid we actually deal with that. But Democrats can see this cab coming down the street, and they do not want to have people. I mean, I don't want to go into a voting booth and have some guy sitting there say, let me see your ID. I'm not from here, but I think that as you're a Democrat, you must be lying. I can't find anything wrong with your ID, but I still sing flag that ballot because it probably is illegal. I don't want that to happen. I don't think most people do, and that's kind of, you know, where this far right loon ball notion is going. So putting in new penalties for people that are threatening election workers is a good idea. Amidst a troubling rise in demonization, intimidation, and downright threats directed at election workers, Democrats in the Minnesota House are taking action to protect the individuals who make sure the elections are administered with integrity and accuracy, said DFL House Majority Leader Ryan Winkler, who's running for Hennepin County Attorney. He said in a statement, the House cleared that in the other voting law proposals last month, we will not allow unfounded allegations or conspiracy theories to tarnish Minnesota's best-in-the-nation election systems. Once again, best-in-the-nation election systems. Republicans scream there's fraud, but we have paper ballots, and they can always just pay to count the paper ballots by hand if they like. And funny story, when you point that out to Republicans, they all of a sudden say, I don't want to do that, even though to do that would be an integral part of them proving the fraud. Just saying. The Senate GOP proposals include allowing political parties or nonpartisan candidates to appoint ballot board observers to watch the handling of ballots. Republicans are also proposing live streaming footage of ballot board activity and absentee ballot drop boxes. Jesus. God. For a party of personal freedom, they sure love that police state kind of feel, don't they? Oh, ballot board observers. All right. Secretary of State Steve Simon, a DFLer, a vocal opponent of such measures, like Winkler, he argued that the GOP proposals seem to be inspired by conspiracy theories and disinformation. Those largely introduce unnecessary and invasive procedures into processes that we already know are secure, said Simon. The further measure to add watermarks to a paper ballot will do nothing but add cost to a system that has numerous other security measures in place. They convince themselves that the watermark has to be there. they have ballots. The machines that you see at the polling place are basically glorified calculators. There still is a paper ballot. It's not shredded and turned into mulch. It's still there. You can take them and count them. And they have. And they keep looking. They look at them. And they're all legit. And they'll say, well, it shows that everything came out right. But we know something's wrong. I mean, Simon just went on the attack of, who was it? It was Michelle Bachmann and My Pillow Guy were on with Bannon and said, you're going to love this. You are going to love this. That Minnesota actually voted for Donald Trump in 2020. We didn't. And they insist Donald Trump won in 2016 as well. Funny story. He didn't. He did not. These people, they've convinced themselves their extremist lunacy is mainstream. And when they get reminded of that, they can't figure out. They've got to make up fantastical conspiracy theories that don't make any damn sense to basically say, see, the 5G network turned them into zombie people. They can't vote. The zombie people can't vote unless they're, of course, a zombie white rural landowner, farmer, man. If that's a zombie, yeah, you get them on in there, let them vote three times, for goodness sakes. But, you know, any other zombies, no. That's called a callback, folks. That's called a callback. You got to stay for the entire damn show. And you do. You got to. You can't just kind of skip around. You got to be here for the whole time. Kiff Meyer, a former Secretary of State rage machine, I'm going to guess, wants both same-day and absentee ballot results to be reported together on election night. All right. Simon's office provided regular updates on absentee ballot results in the days after the election as the ballots were being processed following an unprecedented surge in early voting. Kiff member said the process caused a great deal of confusion among the general public. No, it didn't. You're just trying to make something here. And by the way, can I point out the thing in there that kind of tweaked my ears a little bit when I read that the first time? It was the idea that, okay, so what if they don't count the early absentee ballots by, say, midnight on election day? Are you saying the rest of the ballots get thrown out? The rest of the – is that where your goal is? Is that basically that if you can't count them – in the few hours after the election, that then you can't, those ballots can't count? I'm thinking that's kind of where they're going with this. Needless to say, I have faith in the House DFL, and I have faith in Governor Walz, and I have a lot of faith in Steve Simon, who I consider a friend, and he's a great Secretary of State, far better Secretary of State than Mary Kiffmeyer. My God, she sucked at Secretary of State. She was a horrible Secretary of State. My God, a trained chimp could probably do a better job than Mary Kiffmeyer did at Secretary of State. But needless to say, I have great faith in all of those guys over the Republicans, that the Republicans won't get their laws in place to basically try to limit as much voting as possible. I have faith in Minnesota. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. And Patrick, any updates at all on any new watches or warnings warnings would be with the tornadoes? Anything new?
Oh, we still have the one tornado warning in effect for Dakota and Goodhue and Pierce County, Wisconsin for about five more minutes. There were some funnel clouds reported in Dakota County with that storm. A severe thunderstorm warning also went in effect for Washington County and St. Croix County across the river.
Be careful out there. Be careful on the east side. 952-946-6205. Minnesota coronavirus update for today. It's the update from the Minnesota Department of Health includes 2,661 newly reported cases, 4 newly reported deaths. The state's COVID-19 death toll now is 12,529. Once again, we're seeing with this latest variant of Omicron a rise in the cases, but it doesn't seem to be as of yet translating into a rise in hospitals visits and especially ICU visits and deaths. It's not saying that four people dying is a good thing. It's a horrible amount of death. We have four people dying in a day is horrible. But it's not like it was when we were getting the 17, 18, 20 people dying in a day, for God's sakes. Still, it's unacceptable, and we are clearly still in the heart of a pandemic at this point. Today's update includes case data that was reported in the 24-hour period ending at 4 a.m. on Friday. Numbers from the weekend will be included on Tuesday's update. So this is a one-day total, 2,661. Through May 6th, the number of people with COVID hospitalized in Minnesota was 285. That's down from 297 reported on May 5th. Of those hospitalized, 25 people in intensive care, up from 24. 260 are in non-ICU care. That's down from 273. As of May 5th, the state reported that 3,909,405 people have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. 3,703,300 people have completed the vaccine series. There's also 2,554,946 Minnesotans up to date with their vaccine shots, including me. Thank you, VA Center. I appreciate being over there today. The total number of people in the state of Minnesota, which is likely a gross undercount, 1,466,615 people have had COVID. I posted a story earlier today on social media from Axios that goes through, and once again, I want to remind people that COVID has been the deadliest thing that has ever happened to the United States of America. It is. There are more people that have died of COVID than died in World War II. There are more people that have died of COVID than died in the Civil War. There are more people in the United States who have died of COVID than died from the 1918 flu epidemic. It is by far the most deadly thing that has ever happened to the United States of America. Undoubtedly. And here we are with this fact. That is a fact. Numbers do not lie here. And the only thing that Republicans can do is sit there and say, well, half those people were going to die from something else probably anyway. So why are you counting them with the disease that actually killed them? And that is what their argument is. This is we have the reason why this is so bad. I mean, we just had and this is nothing against Marvel or Doctor Strange or Benedict Cumberbatch. We just had another major movie opening, and I guarantee you we're going to have a surge of cases. What, 185 million that movie made yesterday on this weekend? $185 million. That means a lot of people were in movie theaters watching this in closed confined spaces with recirculated air, and voila, that's how it happens. The greatest crime of this tragedy, that the fact that for millennia, this COVID outbreak will be known as one of the worst things that ever happened in this country. What the whole story needs to be is it was much worse than it needed to be because the Republicans decided to politicize the response to a pandemic. And because of that, a lot more people died than needed to. A lot more people got sick than needed to. Those are what are called facts. Native Roots Radio is up next. Have a good one. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.